You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the live broadcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday evening, July the 16th, and we are in the midst of three great guests. We're going to have the second guest of those featured in just a moment. He's actually standing by on the line right now. But before we do, Keith has a hot date tonight. Keith actually has to leave the studio now to go meet somebody. Keith, tell us where you're going.
I'm going to meet with Norwegian television crew to do a show on The Great Replacement. At least that's its sensible purpose. It may go beyond that. We'll find out. But about an hour-long interview. So I'm looking forward to this. It's a new experience for me. It's old hat for James. But I'll find out. Hopefully it won't be as bad as some of James's have been. And hopefully it'll be as good as some of James's have been.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it, my friend. I was wondering why you came into the studio tonight wearing a seersucker. So now I know. No, of course, we knew about this for several days. So they actually flew down from New York, and it's not a Norwegian live streamer. I mean, it's not somebody like Frody Midjord from Scandinavia, somebody that's going to do us some good. This is a mainstream Norwegian press, right?
Well,
or establishment. I'll say we're mainstream. They're establishment.
Legacy, I guess, is the new current word for it. But whatever it is, they're the establishment, from what I understand. They're on, they have a regular TV show on Norwegian television. I don't know of anybody on our side of the fence that has that. So I'm imagining it's mainstream or
well,
legacy.
Listen, you'll be getting a call from me after the show tonight, and we'll look forward to hearing you tell the audience all about it next week. So go get to it, and do us proud and strike a blow for the cause. Keith Alexander, everybody. I know you can do
sure
it.
I hope so.
I know you will. I know you'll do great. You'll do fantastic. All right. There he goes, everybody. Keith Alexander, and we wish him all the best, and we'll keep you posted on that, and I have a full report next week. Now, as our Better Call Paul show continues, three great guests, all named Paul. Paul Angel in the first hour from the Barnes Review, Canadian free speech activist, longtime friend Paul Fromm in the third hour. But right now, Ramsey Paul. Paul Ramsey himself is back, the very talented and hugely popular commentator, the live streamer, very widely followed Twitter account. He is an entertainer. He infuses great content with humor, and it always makes for an entertaining watch. And every time he's on this program, we have a great time. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming back. And like I said, every time you're on, we have a few laughs and work through some great content, and always enjoy hearing your takes. There is one question I don't know if I've ever asked you, even in all these years we've known each other, and even throughout all the appearances. I'm just here at the studio, and I'm at your Twitter account. How'd you get that blue check, Mark?
I just applied for it years ago, and I got it. See, Twitter years ago, the blue check mark, all it meant was you had a certain amount of notoriety, and it just you had to prove who you are, that I am Ramsey Paul, I am Paul Ramsey, and you got the blue check mark. So they started then later on to use it sort of as a weapon. If they didn't like what you were saying, they would take away your blue check mark as like a punishment. But that wasn't the original purpose. The original purpose of the blue check mark was to be, let's say, like if you had a James Edwards, I'm the real James Edwards, right. So you don't have someone pretending to be you. So that was the original purpose they went away from.
But yet you still got it. So I'll tell you what, some guys just have all the luck there in social media. That coveted blue check mark, Paul Ramsey. I don't know if I've ever had another guest that has one. I'm trying to think. Maybe Buchanan, but he didn't even run his own Twitter. But anyway. Welcome back to the show, Paul. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I want to talk to you about current events. You're one of these utility guys. You have Paul on. He can talk about any subject. He doesn't have a niche. So January 6th trial. Now, that is another gift that keeps on giving. And I was talking, this has been a recurring topic. We talk about how the trust in media has just been eviscerated since the Trump era and beyond the Trump era. It is just totally not there. And for anybody who's watched the show trial or these hearings or whatever they're doing there, I think, and it's a good thing for us, that the left is so disconnected from, at the very least, half of the country, the half of the country that voted by for Trump, according to the official numbers, that them continuing to be as obnoxious as they can and continuing to try to convince people that grannies with fanny packs walking into the Capitol building with the welcoming of the law enforcement who was there at the time, they were sort of ushered in, that that was some sort of an insurrection, trying to make people believe that, forcing people to believe that, forcing people to try to believe that Bruce Jenner is a woman and all of this other stuff. It just further alienates and exacerbates the divide that ultimately will be the undoing of the America as we know, which could be a good thing for us going forward. But January 6th, Paul, your take on it, on the trials, that is. Okay, we lost Paul there for just a second. Oh, he's just texting me. Okay, so we're going to get him back. Let's see what he said as Mr. Producer gets him back on the line, and we'll see how far gone he was. Call dropped. Yeah. Well, we had this problem with Paul before. He lives in Arkansas now, so, you know, it's hard to get a signal out there. But I'll tell you another thing about Mr. Producer. You can just let me know when he's back on, and then we've got a break coming up in just a minute, so we might have to take that. But so this is going to be the undoing of Liz Cheney, but I guess they're okay with that. I don't know if it's just more important for them to push the narrative, even though it's going to be their undoing, if they're just so blinded by hatred and irrationality that they can't help it. Anyway, Paul Ramsey's back. I don't know where exactly you got dropped off. I apologize for that. But January 6th, just go ahead and take it any way you want. We'll regroup during the break.
Yeah, have you seen anything more ridiculous? They're trying to make this into, I think, like Watergate of the 1970s. I'm old enough to remember that. I was a little kid. But a lot of these people are older. This is their last hurrah, you know, kind of the liberal boomers, and they want Trump to be Nixon. And they have all these, they think, like a surprise witness. Who was it, Casey Hutchinson or something? It was a ridiculous story about Trump. He was enraged. He tried to take over the limousine, and he had the Secret Service man in a chokehold. I mean, it was, and this was all hearsay. She wasn't even there. And it's just a kangaroo court. It's ridiculous. There's no sense of rule of law. Like in a real court, you can't allow hearsay like that. And it was just ridiculous, but she's playing the victim now. And she brought up a story that Trump got mad and threw his lunch and it got ketchup on the wall.
I saw
Who
that.
Cares? Who cares? That has nothing to do with January 6th. It's just, what it is a couple of things. They want to make sure that Trump is not allowed to run again. They want to indict him. And the second thing is they want to make sure that people on the right is like, know your place, boy. You guys are not allowed to protest. Now, Antifa and BLM, yeah, they can burn down cities. They can attack police stations. But if you're on the right, know your place and sit down and shut up.
All right, we had a small hiccup there, but I promise we're going to regroup during the break. I want to mind this a little bit more. The situation with this January 6th Inquisition, I guess it's like the third or fourth impeachment of Trump. We'll talk more with Ramsey Paul about it right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. Great guest, great guy. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, welcome back. Ramsey Paul, our guest. We're talking a little bit about these hearings that have been going on now for quite a long time, far too long, in fact. Paul, my theory on all of this is, I mean, well, you nailed it, of course, why they are doing it, why in their minds they think this is going to be helpful for their side. But when I was reading all of the outlandish claims that were being made about Trump, you know, throwing ketchup at somebody and that he was trying to strong arm a Secret Service agent because he wanted to go and lead the people to the Capitol, and all of these things that they were saying that they thought would be so harmful, it was like rehabilitating the image of Trump in my mind. I saw this, and I think anybody else, the half the country that voted for Trump, was like, wow, this is, if he really did these things, this is what we wanted from him.
Yeah, exactly. I would have loved to see Trump go to the Capitol. So when I first heard the story, even though I knew it was ridiculous, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And this whole thing about an insurrection, again, I said it a moment ago, they're trying to make you believe that this was an insurrection, that these unarmed people who were sort of being ushered in, the barricades were taken down, they were visiting with the guards there. And, you know, I think perhaps they, I don't know what they knew or didn't know about what they were allowed to do or not do as they roamed around in there. But that's hardly an insurrection by any standard form of measurement. And but with regards to the never-ending press that January 6th got, and now the show trial, it has to be that the media simply reports these things to and for each other, to get praise from their peers, because they are just so disconnected from that half of the citizenry. So and we saw this, too, with this. I mean, listen to this. I don't know. Maybe they are that blind. There are no so blind as he who will not see. This was a USA Today headline that I tweeted out a few days ago. And it says it reads, from Alabama to Wyoming, here's the best and worst thing about every state. You can't make this stuff up, Paul. This is in USA Today. So that, I don't know if you saw this, but
I saw that. And are you going to the state of Maine? That's state.
Right.
Yes. Well, and I could tell your audience that the best thing of Maine, I believe, and tell me if I got this wrong, is they have the lowest violent crime rate. Right. So that's pretty cool. I like that. But oh, no, there's something that's really bad about Maine. The worst thing, it doesn't have enough diversity. Oh, so, isn't that horrible? Not having enough diversity? It's just so boring.
That was actually something, believe it or not, Paul, that was sent to me via text from a mutual friend, Courtney, in Alabama. And I said, I'll tweet this out. And the tweet that I did went, you know, got decent circulation, but some other people put it out there that got, you know, it really went viral. So they really made the round, and it all came from her. But yeah, it says Maine, lowest violent crime rate. Maine ranks as the safest state in the country, as there were just 124 violent crimes reported for every 100,000 residents, less than a third of the national rate. The worst part of living in Maine is it's the least diverse. As you just said, Paul, according to the latest census data, 94.4% of Maine's population is white, beating out nearby Vermont and New Hampshire as the least diverse state. So I'm thinking, should we tell them? Should we tell them that this is why it's the lowest violent crime rate? It's because it's the least diverse. They can't see that, or they don't want to see it. Jared Taylor had had a video out recently about the things liberals pretend to believe. And I don't know if they're pretending or if they're this far gone, but this goes back to the way they have treated the January 6th situation. We're better off just being done with it and having this divorce and letting them do what they want to do, and we'll do what we want to do.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Maine, because I'm sure that the Biden regime plans to enrich Maine with probably a bunch of Somalis like they did Minnesota. Minnesota in the 1970s was almost crime-free, and because of immigration, it's a disaster now, especially in Minneapolis with violent crime, carjackings, and this all came from the immigrants. And it's interesting, because it's just not in the United States. The same thing happened in Sweden. It was basically a country that eliminated rape. Now, after all this immigration, they're the rape capital of Europe.
Yeah, but there you have. Well, yes, I mean, there's obviously a very natural correlation. It doesn't take anybody with a room temperature IQ can see what's going on there and what the biggest determining factor is with regards to safety versus diversity and so on and so forth. But yes, again, I just think when you read these articles that they're being written for that particular portion of the society, the professional so-called journalists, to impress one another. And another issue where they're all speaking, well, that's every issue, right, Paul? Every issue they speak with one voice. We say this is one of our phrases here. For as much as they talk about loving diversity, they hate the diversity of opinion. There is no love for the diversity of opinion. Every single media outlet that is establishment speaks with one voice on every topic. And I mean every single one voice, and no nuance, no different side of the coin. And Russia is something that certainly falls under that category as well. And I know Russia's a topic you wanted to touch on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a perfect example of the media, how much they lied to the American people. You remember, for weeks and months, oh, the Ukrainians are winning, the Russians, all their generals have died, they're in retreat, they're out of ammunition. There was a headline, Russia only has enough ammunition for another week. This was back in March. And then a couple of weeks ago, Russia just had a major victory, took all of Luhansk, I think one of the provinces. And so there's a real disconnect I think a lot of people must have, because the media is telling them something that Russia is losing, and then all of a sudden they have to, oh, well, I guess they just had a big victory. It doesn't really make sense, but it's the way the media does things. And my theory is that the media and the left in general, they think they can create reality if they speak it into existence. It's a real metaphysical concept. But I really do think they don't really believe in a real reality. They believe we create our own realities. Like, haven't you heard them say, like, oh, this is my truth or your truth? And I'm like, no, there's just the truth. We may have it wrong. We both may have it wrong, but there is an objective truth. But the left doesn't think that way. They think kind of magical thoughts, like if you believe Russia is losing, they will lose. And if you believe a man in a sundress is a woman, he is a woman. See, it's all very similar. And it's at its core, it's an ideology. It's a theology. It's an inversion of, I think it's satanic. It's an inversion of God.
That's right.
Where there's a truth and they just invert it.
No, you're exactly right, and there can be no reconciliation with those people. I mean, even if there could be, I wouldn't want it, but the good news is there can't be. They are too far gone. They are too different. You cannot have people that wide. And I'm not just talking about the differences in culture and language, in heroes and in holidays, and all of the differences you get when you mix different races and different cultures together in the same living space. I'm talking even amongst other I, for lack of a better word, fellow whites, other whites who have gone down this dark road to swallow the narrative. And, well, I'll give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about here. This whole thing with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, where you've had these absolute witches. I do think that there is a demonic spirit in play here, Paul.
Yeah.
These women who are out there shrieking and hysterical. It looks like a demonic possession, because they won't be able to murder their children as easily, or that other women won't be able to murder their children so easily. And this whole LGBTQ month that we just got through, thank God we're in July now, so we can be beyond that month. And you go through these parades and you see young children being subjected to these men dressed as dogs in leather and walking around with leashes and on their hands and knees. I don't want to have anything to do with a society like that. Black, white, it doesn't matter in that context. I don't want to be around those people either. They can go with the rest of them. And let's just, if there can't be a reconciliation, and there can't be, let's go ahead and divorce. And it's got to come. However it comes, we'll be better off for it.
Yeah, but they won't be as well off. They would be facing starvation, and they would demand to get into our country. That's always a problem that would happen. You ever notice these leftists, they claim to love diversity, but once they get enough money, they live like a white nationalist. They just want to live around white people. It is interesting how they do that, you know?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, hypocrisy never tripped them up, and the double standards, and you see that. I mean, of course, they live in the wealthiest, most non-diverse neighborhoods they can afford, and they send their kids to the most elite private schools that are obviously almost all white, and the contradiction never crosses their mind, I don't guess, as long as they can force the people who can't escape it to live in their utopia that they don't actually take for themselves.
If you're wealthy, life can be good no matter what, you know. So they could live in their nice pretty much all white Jewish areas and have their fabulous parties with a funny gay guy showing up or whatever. They have the diversity, and that's all fun. They don't have to live with it day in and day out.
That's right. And we don't want anybody else to have to either. So stay tuned, everybody. The great Ramsey Paul will be back. We got him for two more seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A fire in California's Sierra Nevadas continued to expand, with sprinklers being deployed to protect over 500 of the giant sequoia trees. The blaze in Yosemite National Park was measured at 2,044 acres Sunday evening, zero containment. The Los Angeles Department of Elections determined the petition to recall Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon has enough signatures to trigger an election. Tim Leinberger on KTLA 5 is a part of the Gascon recall.
Los Angeles residents are really making their voice loud and clear with today's submission, and we're excited to finally be to this point, but it's sad that we even have to do it in the first place. There's too much at stake.
Nearly 715,000 signatures were collected. A total of 567,000 valid signatures were needed. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
When President Biden started destroying America's energy independence, the American economy followed shortly after. Representative Debbie Lesko, Republican from Arizona on Newsmax, she says Biden must unleash domestic energy production to fight inflation.
And there's a reason for that, because their energy policies are terrible, absolutely terrible. You know, when the European Parliament just this week voted to make natural gas and nuclear sustainable energy, and they are so liberal that Biden administration is so out of touch with reality. I can tell you that if President Biden did one thing today, gasoline prices would go down, and that would be to encourage U.S. production of oil and gas instead of his war on U.S. oil and gas.
Thanks for being there. We are USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. Longtime friend Ramsey Paul is our guest, and let's just take a quick moment to plug all of his contact information. Obviously on Twitter, at Ramsey Paul, that is R-A-M-Z Paul, at Ramsey Paul on Twitter, RamseyPaul.com. And you're always up to something, Paul. You've got a few different, not just platforms, but a few different programs as well. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think my main one is the Ramsey Paul Show. It's every day from 11 a.m. Central to 1 p.m. Central, and we have a lot of fun. We go over the news of the day. So it's a way for us to go over the news, and we get through the liberal BS. We can decipher it. So that's a lot of fun. On Sunday nights, we have Night Owls. It's a show with Sasha, and we just get together, and it's a little bit more relaxed, and we just talk about culture, games, whatever. And then I have my daily video. So I keep busy, but I really do enjoy it all.
And it's always so welcoming. I mean, when you're sitting down and watching one of Paul's videos or programs or streams, you just feel like you're just kind of hanging out. And he has a real welcoming way about him. And it's a great way to convey the information, and always with some humor, but good content as well. And I remember the last time we sat down over on your end, Paul, when I was your guest, we did an hour on the South, I believe.
Yeah.
A really good time doing it.
That was good. I really enjoyed that. That was a good interview.
Well, thank you. So let's get back to what we were talking about. Well, I want to backtrack just a moment. I don't know if I segued too quickly from Russia to what June was with the LGBTQ and the different shapes and flags. And we'll talk about their flag in a second, actually. But did you have anything else you wanted to say about Russia? Because that's something, when that thing broke out in late February, early March, I remember every guest we had on for a couple of months, no matter what they were on to talk about, we had to ask them their take on Russia, because the consequences and the ramifications are just so wide-ranging, and it doesn't impact us all. What's your take, and how would you like to see this end, and who's the good guy, who's the bad guy?
Well, I would like to see it end with a settlement. I think this is horrific, all the violence and the death. I'm anti-war for the most part. And how in the heck should this involve the United States? Did most Americans, were they thinking, you know, one of my key things in life is worrying about the Donbass region, that it needs to remain in part of Ukraine? I don't think so. It's such an obscure thing. And I have this girl that's a patron of mine. She is from the Donbass region. She's ethnically Russian. And a lot of people may not realize it, but that area is ethnically Russian, and they voted in 2014 to become independent. As we in America, we broke away from Britain, and, you know, we in the South, we try to break away from the Union. That's what Donbass was trying to do, because there are different people, different culture. And I don't see why that should be our issue as part of the United States. And we're spending so much money. Every day I get up, it seems like another billion or so is going to Ukraine. And it's just not really worth it. It's a we kind of started the whole bit. We were behind a coup in 2014, and we put the kind of the liberal government in Ukraine, and now Zelensky's there. And so my policy, I'm America first. I don't think we should be involved on one side or the other. And if that was the case, the war would be over really quickly. And part of Ukraine would be part of Russia now. And I don't see that as such a tragedy. I'm a big fan of self-determination. People should be able to have control over their own governments. And if the people of the Donbass region want to break free, I am fine with that.
That's a great answer, Paul. Really one of the highlights of the show so far. You really stated that quite well. And yes, I mean, you talked about the billions of dollars. I know it was $40 billion with one allocation and a billion here, a billion there. And it's all, we talked with Charles Balsman from Russia Insider on this program a few weeks ago. I mean, all that's just getting pilfered. I mean, it's not going to do any good. And it's not doing any good, at least not for its stated purpose. I guess some fat cats are getting fatter. But
right.
We couldn't build the wall to protect our own nation. I bet $40 million would have put a few miles on that border. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just billions after billions is being spent on this. And we have our own economic problems. We don't have the money to spend on all these countries.
Let's talk about that. So this was Biden just very recently, and it's interesting to see how all of the media is anti-Biden now. I mean, they're really turning on him and running with this narrative. Well, it's not a narrative. It's true, but it was certainly true in his last run. He's too old. He's too senile and so on and so forth. But it's just it's been interesting to watch this as he just continues to tank the country. And, I mean, it's just it's almost – If he wasn't just so reprehensible and despicable, I'd feel sorry for him. I wouldn't want anybody in that state of mind being forced to trot out there. And it's just it's embarrassing, but it's also sad on a fundamental level. But then you remember who he is and what he stands for and what he has tried to do with his life. And, you know, a lot of the sympathy dissipates. But Biden saying, you know, as we are getting economically strangled here, with inflation, rampant inflation, highest inflation in decades, highest gas prices in as long as I can remember, maybe in my lifetime, it's our patriotic duty to do it, and we got to keep doing it until we win in Russia and in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
You like paying these gas prices, Paul, for Ukraine?
It is really crazy, and it's already having an effect, like on Germany. Germany's in a crisis. And a lot of this also has to do with this whole Great Reset and green energy, which is pretty much a farce. I'm not necessarily against having electric, like solar power or wind, but it's not enough to supply all of our energy demands. We need fossil fuels. That's just the reality of it. And we could do it in a clean manner. But Biden has declared war on the oil industry, and we see the result now. And Sri Lanka, they just recently are going under a revolution. They broke down because they bought into this whole green energy nonsense, and now they're facing starvation. They're having fuel shortages, and yeah, having the Russian war has exasperated it, but it was an issue anyway before then. So I think there's a lot of things that are coming together. The war with Russia, trying to embrace this green energy nonsense, which it just can't work. And you can't have a modern civilization with green energy unless you're prepared to have millions of people to starve, because we can't do it. It's just a math formula. It's not even political. It's just it's a fact of the energy. So all of this is coming together and creating a really difficult time for America and really the world, especially Germany.
Well, you know, Paul, you say all of that, and everything you say is true. We may be paying $100 for a tank of gas at the pumps, and we may be having all of these other crises, but at least we've got Drag Queen Story Hour, am I right?
Yeah, this is the strangest thing in my lifetime, how now we have to pretend that men that dress up as women are women, and if you don't do that, you're a hater, and you're transphobic. Like, no, I'm not scared of this. I just find it disgusting, and it's not normal. And trying to force this on people is strange. It's just not true. And one of the things that really always bugs me is when people are talking about gender when it comes to humans. I'm old enough to remember that humans or animals, most animals, they don't have a gender, they have a sex, and it's typically male or female, unless you're like an earthworm. But, you know, most advanced creatures are male or female. And gender always refer to a grammar concept with like nouns. There's certain nouns that have a gender, like the word bowl is masculine and a chair is interdeterminate because we don't know. But living things do not have a gender. But this is what got them mixed up. They believe that when you're born, you're assigned a gender, and that may not match your biological sex. So it's this real spiritual thing. It's like this mystical thing within you where you're trapped in the wrong body. And now because of all this propaganda, they're pushing in the schools. In some cases, like a quarter of the class now identifies as transgender. And this whole idea that, oh, we're just born this way. Well, if you were just born this way, we wouldn't have seen an explosion in the numbers of LGBTQ, and especially this is crazy.
Well, Paul, there was somebody that sent me an article about this, and there was a study, and you know, one of the reasons that this is happening, of course, and why it never happened when we were growing up and in any other day and age, is because there is such a constant drumbeat of white guilt. If you are white and you are heterosexual, you can't be part of the team. You can't be one of the support groups of the regime. You're an outcast. And so because of that, and because of lack of parenting, and because, well, a variety of factors, you know, constant inundation of filth from television and in public schools and whatever. I mean, certainly, yes, you do have these weak-minded and weak-willed whites who are sort of saying, yeah, I'm that too, just so they can fit in. I mean, that's how sick it has become, and that is, to an extent, one of the reasons it's happening at with more people saying this is because that's how they can feel included in so-called proper society.
Yes. That? And well, this is a clever way that people on our side can take advantage of it, because, for example, the state of California, it was later struck down, but they're trying to push some laws like you have to have so many women in the workforce or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyone could define themselves. Yeah. Anyone could define themselves as a woman now. So, and they don't even know what a woman is. This is how primitive we become.
Yeah. Remember they tried to ask that new Supreme Court justice, to define a woman. It's just like, you know, I better not answer that one. All right, we're going to take a break. A quick hour going by with Ramsey Paul. We got it for one more second. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com. We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Welcome back, everybody. One more segment this evening with Ramsey Paul. And I was sharing with you a couple of segments ago that a mutual friend of ours, Courtney from Alabama, who's a regular contributor to this program, sent me a screenshot from the USA Today newspaper that we were able to get out. And I think we were able to get it out first. And from there, it was retweeted by a lot of people and really circulated pro-white Twitter. Ramsey Paul had heard about it when I asked him about it. He knew exactly what I was talking about. And anyway, since her name came up, I thought it'd be fun to invite her to join us in conversation right now. And Courtney's here with us now. Courtney, say hello.
Hey. Hi, James. Hi, Paul. Thank you for letting me back on, even though I was on recently. I mean, this is very kind of you to have me back on again.
Well, Paul, I got to tell you a quick story, my friend. There was a reason for this, and I know Courtney wants to say a quick something else, but when I called you the other day, Paul, I was planning for the show a week in advance, and I was traveling to South Carolina for last week's show, and I was booking up the guests for tonight, and so I called you, Paul, and we set things up. And by the way, Paul very graciously moved an appointment tonight to better accommodate us, and I want to thank him for that. And talked to Paul, and then Courtney had texted me, and I needed to get back in touch with her, and we were texting back and forth, and she said, I need to call Ramsey Paul after we talk. I said, that's just too uncanny. I said, I just got off the phone with them, and she had just mentioned it. So I just took that as fate's design that we should all be here together tonight. So, Paul, say hello to Courtney.
Oh, hi, Courtney. Yeah, it's good to talk to you. It was interesting because I hadn't spoken with Courtney from Alabama since I think we met at an American Renaissance conference years ago, and it was really great to hear from her, and I always like her Southern accent, and she's always been so good for the South, so it was great to hear from her.
And speaking of the South, Courtney, there was a big show we had last week there in South Carolina, so say a few words about that. I know you have a little statement that you have in your mind, so take it away, and then we'll go back and forth with Paul.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I was very blown away by that. I listened to that show broadcast from South Carolina. I was so blown away. There were points made that I had never thought of. Man, what a great group of men. It's like they just got on and said, this is what we need to do. You know, they didn't get on there and blame this group and that group for all our problems. They just said, this is what we need to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And I was so impressed. It just, I could feel my Confederate blood just, just getting churned. I mean, you know, it was just wonderful. Man, what a great community to be a part of. And I saw some overlap with the topic I went into the previous week. And I want to start off by saying I don't want anybody to ever, I mean, I mentioned this to you already as well as Paul. I don't want people to ever misread, you know, what I'm saying when I get on and talk about my love of the South. I mean, it can be misread as divisive. And, you know, there's only so much you can say within a show. You can't really cover every caveat and what, you know, to make everybody in the audience happy. You know, honestly, I love going to these meetings, whether it's James's party or Amber, and I love going and just meeting so many different white people from around the country, you know, outside the South, so many great people. You know, I mean, I've admitted on the political cesspool many times, as has James and Keith. You know, we have traitors down here in the South, and there's good people outside the South. You know, I went to New York City once, and I went into a pizza shop, and there was this, you know, middle-aged Italian American man in there, and I saw him chase off this young black hoodlum who I guess had shown up to cause some trouble. He was just like, "Get out of here!" You know, get out. You know, he didn't care about feelings; he just wanted him out. And, you know, at that moment, I felt like I had more in common with that guy than a lot of the Baptist preachers I've had. But, you know, so anyways, I love Italian Americans. I really do. I mean, I love that whole culture up in New York City. There's a lot of good people up there. You know, look at the fireman who went into the World Trade Center. I mean, just a lot of good people. I could spend so much time talking about it. But, you know, getting back to my Southern pride, you know, just growing up my whole life and hearing the South get, I feel like Southern wasps, you know, we get attacked more than any group. And, you know, after seeing more than enough transplants come down here and talk about how where they came from is better, you know, I mean, that gets old after a while. I welcome good people down here, but I do also think it's important to maintain our bloodline, too. I consider us an ethnic group down here. And I consider, you know, if you're mostly descended from Confederate ancestors, then you're part of that ethnic group. I'm sorry if that's closed-minded. I just think we need to stay the majority. I mean, that's the same way with any ethnicity. Every white ethnic group should be proud of who they are. And, you know, and I went into the whole nation of immigrants myth because, you know, so many of us are not descended from immigrants. Most of the South isn't. And so I'm sorry, I find that whole myth very offensive. And I'm going to make one closing point because I want to turn it back to y'all. But, you know, I get a lot of my Southern pride from my father and my mom, too, actually. But you know, he's more extreme than I am in a lot of ways when it comes to, you know, like the whole damn Yankee thing. And, you know, I'm just going to give one closing example just for laughs, but I like to watch the show Impractical Jokers. Those guys are funny. You know, they're in New York City. And I was watching it one time when he was over and he's like, turn this off. They're New Yorkers. I don't like people from New York City. I'm like, Dad, I mean, come on. There's nice people up there. But anyways, I'm going to turn it back over to you. It's the go ahead. Last week's show was wonderful. I love listening to that, James. Thank you for, you know, asking me to tune in. That was I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Well, you're very welcome. And, of course, here we've got three of the Confederate states represented in Tennessee, you and Alabama, of course, Paul now over in Arkansas. And, you know, you were talking about Paul's work as well, Courtney. I know you're a big fan of his. Talking about, share with Paul. Why don't y'all engage in this? I know he has to run in just a second. We want to let him go a couple of minutes before the end of this segment. But you were talking about how he had mentioned his work had evolved over the years. Why don't you share with him what you told me, and we'll let him respond.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who's been in the movement a while matures after a while. And I think I have myself, and all of us have. And I've noticed that Paul has changed a lot over the years, and he's always been very funny. But like, it's like recently I've noticed he talks more about his spirituality and, you know, our homelands and different ethnic groups and regional pride. And I find myself agreeing with so much of what he goes into. I really do. Gosh, what is wrong with me? It's like once I've become a mom, I can't remember everything. But there was something he was talking about that really, I was like, wow, I agree with that so much. And there's a lot of moments when I'm listening to him. If I'm not laughing along with him, I'm agreeing with his points. And I can't remember what it was that bothers me. I'll remember it at some point.
I do think people, they you get more nuanced on your views and stuff, and it's kind of a journey. And I appreciate everyone watching. I really enjoy doing this. And thank you for the kind words. And I'm really blessed now to be in the South. I never lived in the South previously, so I guess I'm a transplant. But I'm in the hills of the Ozarks as we do this interview. So it's really, really nice. Good people out here. I'm really happy to be down here.
The northwest corner of Arkansas is fantastic, up into
beautiful,
Missouri, Branson area, just all of that. And it's just the nicest. I was actually there the first week of June with Sam Bushman, the owner of the network. And every time I go and visit friends in that part of the country, it's just a wonderful culture. You know, Paul, I'm glad you brought that up. The culture there, that is something that we wish, and we felt it in South Carolina last week too, but it's not just here, it's not just there, it's not a regional thing. Throughout the South, in different pockets, it's still alive and it still exists, and it's very real and it's very palpable, and it's not just a pulse. There is a very robust beating heart there, and you feel that in the Ozarks, the culture there and the friendliness and the community. That's what we want for our people.
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice, and they still maintained it, at least in the country. The city's not so much, but otherwise, it's really nice.
Well, with about a couple of minutes remaining, tell us what's next for you and your work. Some of the topics you're going to be hearing at Ramsey Paul, from Ramsey Paul on his different platforms and streams, and what we can look forward to over the next few.
There's going to be obviously a lot of stuff happening with Biden, the politics, the summer, and it just seems things are accelerating. So it should be a lot of good content to analyze. And again, just go to the Ramsey Paul Show, Ramsey Paul on my YouTube channel, and we go through the news, and I do it live, but I also, it's on YouTube. So if you can't watch it live, you're welcome just to listen to it at your leisure. And it's a way to kind of follow what's going on in the news, but from not a liberal point of view, because as James said, all the media is so biased. It's really hilarious how biased it is, and we give a different point of view.
Courtney, what do you like best about the way Ramsey Paul presents the message? I know you don't listen to everybody. You're a TPC fan. You're a Ramsey Paul fan. What is it?
Oh, man, I try. I like to constantly try different shows out all the time. But, oh, man, he's just funny. I mean, that's like been a constant thing. I mean, when he's making fun of leftists, I mean, he has a way of saying it that just it's hilarious. I mean, like just repeating things that they say that are so ridiculous and mocking them. I mean, it's funny. I mean,
yeah,
oh,
well,
man,
we touched on that, the way you infuse humor. And you kill him with humor. That was something Bob Whitaker was always big about, the former Reagan appointee, a friend of mine before he passed away. One of the first guests we had on, I mean, another long-timer lifer. The left hates to be mocked, don't they, Paul?
Yeah, they do. It's best to have fun. And yeah, they do hate to be laughed at, that's for sure. So yeah, we have a good time. So that's why I try to do in the show. And I'm really blessed to have a great audience. It's an intelligent audience. There's a lot of good feedback back and forth. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
I've always liked sarcasm, too. I think sarcasm is a pretty powerful weapon, and you've got a real knack for that.
Well, there's a kind of a tricky line, too, because all the heavy censorship, so you've got to kind of navigate it. People have to sometimes read between the lines, but that's part of, I guess, the fun. So
we'll let you continue to thread the needle. Thanks, Courtney, for the surprise call tonight. Ramsey Paul, talk to you again soon.
Thank
Paul
you.
Fromm, as the third of three Pauls on your radio tonight, will be with us in the next hour. Thanks, everybody.
All
we'll
right.
be right
thank
back.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Courtney. Bye-bye.
Thank you.